two.
Peace.
Two.
Hello, welcome to episode 92 of Two Piece Starts Live. He's Tim.
And he is Ray.
Hope you enjoy the show.
Well, no calls this week, though, huh?
No calls this week. My internet's still a little funky. We're hoping to get things sorted out so we can start taking some calls next week. But, I mean, last week the calls were at least 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Of just connection problems. It was agonizing. And I was able to edit it to sound relatively normal.
Yeah, no, you did a good job editing. It was, It was painful because it's like, okay, I know you've asked the question about 8 times already, but can you repeat it once more?
Can you
I'm
say
not
it
quite
again,
sure what you were
like
asking.
Like slower, as slow as you can so we make out each consonant.
Yeah, say each word about 12 times and maybe one of those words will come through.
Just, you know what, just talk in tags. Just say like, like Sonic. Character Tim. Oh, he must be
Got
asked
it,
right.
Yes.
And of course, it was always ironic to me. Like we could hear everything they say except the question.
Yeah, like, as soon as they stopped asking the question, they're like, "So did you hear me?" I'm like, "What? Well, now I can hear you perfectly. What's that all about?"
It's like when you're at the drive-thru and like, "All right, that'll be." What was that? Like, well, you want 2 bacon cheeseburgers and fries, right?
Yes.
Well, that'll be. Okay, hold on. Seriously.
Are you just saying ro-ro-ro or what?
What's going on here? Where's Ashton Kutcher? What's going on? All right. Well, let's go on right into comic talk. This week we had If Two Piece Starts Were Daily. Oh, probably one of my favorite comics, I would say.
Wow, that's...
I love this strip. It's disappointing that so many people don't realize what we're trying to do with it. I had a number of friends, I think, were a little confused, and I think they were trying to be nice by saying, like, well, I liked Wednesdays,
you
right. know, I'm like, all right, let's talk about this for a little bit.
Well, yeah, a lot of people said that, and I...
For those who don't know, we're essentially parodying all the things that we hate about daily newspaper comics that are just boring, lame humor.
On the one hand, it took me 5 minutes to do the whole thing, so that that tells you right there, like, the level of humor that we're aiming for. But at
right.
the same time, you know, there's a part of me, and a lot of people would say things like, oh, I really like Tuesday and Thursday.
Right.
And there's kind of that part of you that you know what humor we're going for, and for that humor, like, if you were reading that caliber comic
yes.
as you're eating your cereal, you would kind of enjoy it.
Yes.
So it's like,
oh, totally.
When your expectations are lowered, it's great, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. And I started looking through the script, and I started reading it, and I'm like, well, like, I'll just glance at it real quick. And I was reading it, and I was just like, this is so bad. This is so... Like, I got to, like, Wednesday, and I just stopped halfway. I didn't even wait for the punchline. Like, I'm out of here. Like, I can't read one more sentence of this before I throw up all over my lunch. It was just horrible. And at the same time, I was so excited to do it, too. Like, it's the classic somebody has a catchphrase. But the catchphrase
yes.
isn't funny on its own, and it doesn't really mean anything. It's just because he says it a lot, you know? Like, I mean,
he just
nothing...
has to say it at the end, after the punchline, that other character always has
yeah,
to
it's
say
like,
something.
The punchline should have been enough, but then you still have someone like, oh, brother. Like, oh, oh, that's so funny because he said, oh, brother. Like, no, this is terrible. Like, or like, when you're like, that should take his mind off of work. It's so unnecessary. And I also love, like, I wish I would have done more of this, but like, Tim, it's the middle of summer. Why don't you lose the beanie? You don't want to do that, Ray. like the unnecessary.
In case that was the
usage...
first time you ever read that comic. It's like,
yeah.
you have to introduce like, the characters like, every day.
And I especially enjoyed the capitalization things. You know, like satisfied. Now Lego my beanie. like you know, like we. It's like we're talking down to the readers. Like, listen,
right.
you guys aren't even smart enough to get this lame of a joke. So we're gonna capitalize it.
Well, I also like the leading of the punchline, as we did in Wednesday, where I said, Ray, your 360 has an update available, and then you say, oh, thanks, how did you know? Did you turn it on? Like, like, you wouldn't really say that, but I needed you to say that for me to tell you, no, I didn't touch it. You know, I mean, like you see that in sitcoms a lot, where they say something that
right.
they would never say, but it lets the other person, you know, give that nice punchline, so... That was fun.
Like, for
to
example,
do too.
I love Everybody Loves Raymond. It's probably my favorite sitcom of all time. the fact that so many characters, like, they, a lot of times they don't say anything. They just look. And you can just tell from the look they give people what they're telling them. Because that's what people do in real life, you know? They just right. look at someone else. Like, I can't believe you said that. Or, you know, like, and you, like, and you kind of wait to hear what they're going to say, but it's actually funnier not knowing. It's kind of like a horror movie where it's like not seeing the villain actually makes it scarier than seeing them, you know? It's that kind of thing. And, like, shows like That 70s Show are just, like, it's so painful for me to watch because... They say,
they have to,
like,
say
every
everything.
Single line is a joke. And like, you have some characters like Kramer or, like, Ray's brother Robert, where they kind of come into a scene and they'll just say, like, a one-liner, you know, and it's funny because they're, like, the one-liner person. But a show right. like That 70s Show is, like, every character is a one-liner because they're all beautiful and they all are equally as funny. And since it's a laugh track, all they do is they say their joke, pause. Say joke, pause. Yeah. Say joke, like, I tear my hair out. I just can't handle myself.
The biggest change, obviously, I think, was to Friday, which I'm glad you did what you did. I had given you a joke for Lace that was, a typical Lace joke, or at least of what we talked about, you know, how Lace would interact with the video game world, and was really talking about the real world. It was that type
yes.
of thing.
It was actually kind of funny. Gotta go. like yeah. we can't have anything kind of funny. Like, it needs to be gone. Like, out the window
now. Yeah.
Not allowed. yeah. Well, for every great comic comes great comments, and this week's suggestion box was no different.
Lots of comics, lots of comments. Yeah, actually, mine's gonna go to I'm Done.
Oh, no, that's mine.
No, really?
yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and start with that one?
Okay. It was the Patapon comic that got me into the site, and there's only been a few that have been of the same quality since then, so I must bid this comic farewell. You've gone down the same path as Awkward Zombie, with strings of comics that deviate from what was just naturally funny to a real stretch. Well, you know, it's interesting because I did send I'm Done an email.
Oh.
And I said to him, just out of curiosity, what were the couple comics that were of the same caliber as the Patapon comic? And you know what he said?
Mario Terry's comic?
He said, none, I was lying. No, actually, I didn't get a response from him. It was a bad email.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought I looked at the email address and it was like, I'm totally out of here at nothing.com or something like that.
No, that was not it.
Really? I think it was.
It was something... it was legitimate.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure. Anyone that says something negative about the site, I actually write their email address down so that someday
make,
I can go
You make
and,
a list.
I have a hit list. He said it in an honest enough way that I can't really be upset, you know?
Yeah, I'm nice. I'm happy that he at least, you know, had the courage to talk with us and, you know, went through the decency of mentioning it to us. You know, he didn't complain. You know what I mean? He didn't say, I deserve better, or, you know, any of that baloney. He was just very, like, what would I say?
Normally, I would never go to the site again, you know, if I didn't find it funny. So, you know, I'd rather know that, you know, somebody was here for a while and they decided that they didn't like it anymore than never hear from them at all, so.
Well, being the first time anyone has ever been nice enough to say farewell to us, I'd like to say a little farewell of my own, Tim.
Okay.
Please don't go. We've had such great times together.
Stop.
Like the laughs that we shared. Cause Patapon was quite clever.
Ray, please stop.
Sorry it hasn't been this way for a while.
Ray, if this is not your next album, I don't want to hear it.
Now don't dwell on our past, for it had been quite the pleasure. But I do wish you well in your search of someone better. Maybe Garfield is more your style.
We're gonna drive away our last three fans.
Two of them are us. time for a little bit of Rick-a-Rick-a remix. This segment, I'd mention a video game remix favorite, who made it, and where you can download it. This week, it's going to be a little bit different. The Tyrez Project Music Division has recently released a 10-song album called Sonic's Poppin' Groove. Its cover is probably one of the worst pieces of Sonic fan art I've ever seen in my life, but I wouldn't recommend judging an album by its cover, for this is some pretty cool electro-funk music, based loosely on the type of sound we started getting in Sonic 3 and Knuckles back in the Genesis days, but almost as though it was a new 2D Sonic game based entirely in a neon strobe-lit environment. So take a listen to a sample of it. Alright, if you'd like to listen to more samples, just head back to the page you grabbed this episode of 2B Start Live from, or the link is right there for those of you listening to our M4A version of the show. If you like it enough, you can snag each song for 75 cents, or the full album for $3.
That's $3 Sonic money you spent in a while, probably.
That's for real. Time to help pull some people out of their graves.
Let's do it. Dig them up.
Rise from your grave.
Rise from your grave.
Many 2P Start fans tend to lurk behind the shadows, hiding their faces by continually reading our comics but never daring to leave a single comment.
How dare they?
So when one finds the courage to break free from the shackles of silence, we salute you. Well, our first grave riser goes to Obelink, who said, "Consider my grave risen. Nice podcast, guys. Really enjoyed it. Nice conversations and very funny. Also, props to Ray for there being no real audio glitches. After all, you guys made it seem like you were having a lot of trouble."
Well, thank you. Our next grave riser is Super Paperboy. And that name sounds really familiar. He did something cool, didn't he?
I think he delivered the paper to me.
Anyway, he says, "Sorry for lurking behind the shadows and not leaving a single comment.
How dare you?
But now I'm rising from my
grave. Rise from your grave.
I've been listening and reading for several months, and love your take on some of the classics and newer aspects of gaming. Now please excuse me, I have to break out in a spontaneous, choreographed dance number."
Our next grave riser goes to One Way to Hell, who said, there are many ways, by the way. Long time reading and listening to you guys, and now I can say I'm rising from the grave. Wahaha. Love you guys. Amazing comic. Amazing dudes. I think this comic is one of the funniest. Love the whole washed me. Lol, I never use my 360. Thank you, One Way to Hell.
Yes. All right, and we have AC Gamer. Again, that name sounds really familiar.
A lot of these sound familiar to me.
You know why? Because he couldn't log in. He emailed me, and I had to fix his account. So he is persistent, let me tell you. I am officially rising from my grave.
Rise from your grave.
Tim said on one of the podcasts that he wanted someone to grave rise from a stupid comic to tell you how much it sucks. So that is what I'm here to do, though that was kind of the point, so good job. I've read every comic, starting with Fixing an Election, so that's not really every comic.
How does that work exactly? No, the thing is, he's read all the ones before it too, but he had started on Fixing an Election.
Oh, okay. That might be what he's saying.
It's possible.
I would hope so. And listen to the podcast since around 75. Thanks for making a great webcomic and keep up the awesome stuff.
Well, thank you very much, you guys. And our last grave riser goes to The Ninja Mouse, who said, "Hi, guys. I decided now is as good a time as any to rise from my grave. I first discovered your webcomic about a year ago when Ryan Estrada did a guest comic as part of his attempted 100 webcomics in a day stunt. I've been a faithful reader since then because I love your quirky, generally clean style of humor. For a long time, though, I only had internet access at work, so I just started listening to the podcast a few weeks ago, and I've been really enjoying them. With that, I have a suggestion and a question." How dare you? My suggestion is this. I think your podcast needs a new segment to counter the Black Doom Award. A segment highlighting something positive in the gaming world. Listening to consecutive podcasts and Black Doom Awards, you get the sense that the entire gaming industry is going to pot. And I don't think that's really the case. I think the good decisions deserve some recognition as much as the awful ones. And finally, my question, it's been well established that Ray is obsessed with Sonic and Brawl, but what are Tim's favorite games? Maybe I just haven't gone back far enough in the podcast to find out, but I'd like to know what games or genres Tim counts as his favorite. Anyway, thanks for all your hard work.
That's some great... We should have had him on, like, audio style, you know?
Yeah, he seemed very nice.
Seems like he's got some great questions. Well, I think to address this issue of a Sunny Doom Award, or whatever you want to call it, one... If you ever watch the news, they only talk about crappy stuff because that's more interesting. So if we were just sitting around praising the gaming industry, it would be a very boring podcast. But
they still lead all their stories with, like, and at 11, find out how this baby saved this orphanage.
Right. Well, that's right? what our like, segment after the podcast is. It's just random stuff that didn't really make it into the podcast.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, I think... When we ever do a like an actual topic of the week, usually it's something positive or something new and exciting.
It's just not officially labeled as such.
But
yeah.
His next question about my favorite games and genres and such, certainly my favorite game of all time is Bad News Baseball on the original Nintendo. It's just a timeless classic to me. In fact, I actually own badnewsbaseball.com. And I started using it as a blog to track wins and losses between... my brother and I, when we play every day at lunch. Yes, we play every day. And I'm kind of going to turn it into something of a shrine for the game. And I have all the music from the game up there right now, so you can listen to it.
Very cool.
But yeah, that's my big passion. In fact, not only am I that into the game, but I've actually hacked the game to include a night mode, so you can play under the lights at night. And I'm actually working on a Negro mode, and I'm not saying that to be racist, but back in the day when there was, like, Negro League baseball, you know, there was segregation and all that
stuff. I
cannot
wait to use that clip against you in a following podcast.
I know, you're
going to...
Next election, man, I'm toast. I'm pretty passionate about the game, let me tell you.
Well, before we leave, I'd also like to mention Word Nerd left a comment who said, I love your comics, I always am looking at them every week, but most of the time you get off topic in your podcast, and it kind of makes me want to not listen to them every week. Oh, by the way, Tim, that reminds me. You remember the time when I had the little sock puppet show?
You're getting off topic, sort of.
Yeah, good times.
Kind of, sort of.
All right, well, moving on.
Moving on here. let's stay on topic and talk about that comment. First of all, I that is true of last week, and it's kind of starting to sound true of this week as well. But if you listen to Joysticks podcast or something, ramble for hours, right? I mean, we actually have segments.
And yeah, we go off a little bit, but I think part of the show, though, is kind of getting a little inside look at us. And so it's nice to kind of go off topic a little bit so you get a little bit more about us individually than just, like, here are my official statements on the current stating of Nintendo's.
And Ray
edits
quite a bit also, especially anything I say that... I'm sorry. I guess you just don't like our podcast because
How dare you, Tim?
How dare you? Make two versions. One, like a normal one, and then a 3-minute one where we just say sentences that are important.
Well, it's time, Tim.
It is. Let's get
it over
with.
The dreaded Black Doom Award. Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the most atrocious character Sonic Team has ever created.
Black Doom.
Well, my Black Doom Award's going to go to Ubisoft. Here's the thing.
Here it is.
I can't believe I say that so much now. It's disturbing.
You do.
When
I
say it in front of friends now, and they practically roll their eyes. The new TMNT smash-up game is coming out soon, and they've been showing off the game, showing off, like, oh, here's the new turtle characters, you know, here's some of the characters you can play as, and here's what the game's like and how it works. And people have been analyzing this quite a bit. Okay, how does this differ from Brawl and all that stuff? But one of the things that they released was actually, and you could play it at a demo station at some point, was that one of the playable characters is a Raving Rabbit from Raving Rabbids video game.
Yeah, exactly.
What else can I say? And so you have, like, a raving rabbit, and you have the Raving Rabbit with Tom Clancy outfit. Spy sort of thing, right?
Siphon filter or whatever.
I have big, big issues. I really don't mind that the Rabbids are in the game. I'm okay with that. What I do have issue with is them showing these hidden characters before the game's out. You know, like, this game is focused on the turtles. Really, this goes for any game that shows off secret hidden characters.
Yeah, it's almost like secret characters are they feel like if we don't tell people about the secret character, then we're losing out on a selling opportunity. So nothing secret anymore. There are no secrets, right?
And that was kind of the case with Brawl. You know, we're like, yeah, hey, yep. Sonic's a playable character, and you're like, well, I'm okay with you telling me that because I know you'll have other secret third-party characters. Nope.
Like, nope.
What? Why would you do that? Like, that's terrible. Like, that's absolutely the wrong order to do things in. It's like, yes, Sonic will be a major selling point for Brawl. That's regardless of if you tell us ahead of time or not. Like, word will get out. Excuse me, let me drop past puberty real quick. Like, word will get out that Sonic's in the game once the game's released, and people are gonna flip out and they'll wanna go buy the game regardless. Like, you don't need to tell us ahead of time to get us excited. We'll find out eventually. And that's but that's like a little bit different because, you know, it's all about the, like, cool characters in the Nintendo universe. Like, hey, this is cool because we're mixing in a Sega universe character too, right? With this game, with TMNT Smash Up, is different because this is not related to gaming universes. This is specifically Turtles lore. And it's difficult for me to... It's frustrating for me to see them put their own characters in as a selling point for a Turtles video game before the game's even released and before we even know of their other characters.
Yeah, it seems like a very odd mix. And, you know, you see them do that in established franchises, you know, like Soul mm-hmm. Calibur or something. Mm-hmm. It's like you already know who the characters are, and yeah, they'll throw in somebody specific. But
But
there's enough Turtle characters out there from the shows and stuff like that that they would run out of, you know, space on the game before they'd run out of characters to use in that game. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. there was really no reason to do that, in my opinion. My Black Doom word is pretty simple. I think the new PS3 is pretty ugly.
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen pictures?
My internet's been sucky.
Oh,
what can
my
I
gosh.
Do?
Take a look for the first time at the new PS3.
My virgin eyes shall take a look here. You know what, Tim? I'm going to have to disagree with you.
Wow.
I really am.
I think it's horrible. First of all, it's got this ugly matte finish across the entire top of it.
Mm.
And, you know, the original had that nice glossy, kind of luxurious look to it, despite the fact that it was enormous, which was kind of a bummer. It at least looked kind of, you know, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This, to me, looks like one of those VCR rewind units, you know, that you pop open and you rewind your cassette tapes so that you don't wear out your VCR, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It looks really bland, kind of generic, and like a cheap electronic unit, you know? They pull out a new logo, which kind of looks cartoonish. Doesn't seem to fit the identity of the PlayStation 3. They give you the option of standing it up, but because it's so much slimmer now, you need to buy a stand, a piece of plastic that costs
$25. Yeah, come on, dude.
You know, it's...
I'll tell you why I like this one better for a few reasons. It does a lot better job of seeming like, because I assume this still plays Blu-rays.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure they're not pulling out features.
They didn't
again.
Screw that one up. Yeah.
It still keeps the kind of the Boeing style of the PS3, but I'd say it's much more of a home entertainment center than the PS3 was. Before it was just this big glossy beast, and this one retains much more of a this is a DVD player again. Like, because I think the idea of the PS3 originally was we're going to make this thing ridiculous and people are going to just beg their parents for it because it's so amazing. But instead it got that tinge of it's just overpriced and huge. And so now I think they're trying to stay away from that and get back to the world of the PS2 where it just fit right in the home and felt natural.
Like, you can make it look fit better with like a home theater system and not make it look... like it's outdated already, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing isn't even out yet.
Put your old PS3 on top of it, you know?
Yeah.
Just pretend you're still using that
or
one.
Or take the case off your old PS3 and just kind of form it around the new one.
House it in there, yeah. All right, well, finally, we'd like to wrap up the show with Musical Misfits. Some great video game songs have been unintentionally ignored over time, and we play one in full after the show's over for those who are still interested. I get to trade off every other week with our listener suggestions, so you guys can enjoy my choice of Perfection, Space Elementary School Band from Space Channel 5 Part 2. Just for reference, it's the section of the game where you rescue children who are abducted during their class field trip, and as they join your party, they add their lack of musical talent to the game's music. So that will do it for this edition of 2B Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic, and every Monday for a brand new podcast. Just like the one you heard here, except better. With that, he's Tim.
And he is...
Right. And we'll see you next week.
Bye bye.
Tell you how many times I'll order like a meal at Burger King, right? And I'm like, well,
I can tell you how many times I've done that. Zero. I've never bought anything at Burger King. But go ahead.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone to Burger King and I'm like, well, I'd like a Whopper meal with onion rings. And I want, but like the number of onion rings I get normally in the medium size isn't enough. So I'm like, well, can I get a large of onion rings? And they'll give me like 5 extra onion rings, but my drink is like 6 times bigger. You know, like it's like for some reason, like the amount of drink you get exponentially, it's like, oh, you want a large? Okay, here's a big gulp. I'm like, did I, like, first of all, like the medium sizes of drinks are ridiculous to begin with. It's sure. To the point where if I try drinking it, it ruins my meal because there's so much of it. It's just a huge imbalance of soda. It ruins every Burger King meal. And I'm like, can't we just, like, this whole have it your way thing, can't we have a way for us to be like give me a little touch screen at the drive thru and I'm like, okay, I want a Whopper meal, and then I have slider bars of how much I want of the drink, how much I want, and by moving one, it moves the other, right? Well, I want this many onion rings. Okay, well, the drink is going to go down. That way you keep the same price. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, no, you need multi-touch so you can do the whole pinch to enlarge type of thing.
Enlarged.
Order from your iPhone and just start, you know, shrinking and making other things bigger, you know? I mean, that works.
That's another thing is, like, this idea of, like, oh, ordering food at Burger King from your iPhone. I mean, it sounds ridiculous. We could be there. I mean, I just saw a commercial. It's like, Pizza Hut, order a pizza straight from your iPhone. And I laugh out loud because, like, that's ridiculous. And I'm like, you know, it does make a lot of sense, though, right? I mean, kind of the wave of the future, in a way.
If you're in a big line at the in the drive-thru, I mean, you're already there, but you know, the menu comes up automatically on your iPhone and you start making your order. You don't have to talk to some garbled voice in the window and kind of make your own choices. I think that works for me.
Right. No, the internet connection will still be bad for that moment when they say the price. I mean, that'll continue.
Like, what, the graphics are all mixed up. What's this all about? I can see my whole order. I just can't tell how much it costs.
like complete your order by putting in the 5 digits shown here. Like, is it just me, or do I always feel stupid when I can't read the cryptic digits? Like, you know, like X543, and I'm like, what does this say? like an idiot. Like, cause it's supposed to get past like spammers, and I'm too dumb to even see what they say.
I've seen some really bad CAPTCHA codes. I had one a couple weeks ago that was ridiculous. It was like a sentence, okay? It wasn't 4 digits. It was a sentence. And it wasn't words either. It was like, you know, some alien language, and I got one wrong. Like, oh, that was an O, not a zero. I'm like, oh, man, I got to type in the sentence again?
That's not an L. It's a cursive I, you know? It's
right.
Like, thanks.
Oh, jeez.
Why are we switching between serif and sans serif here? You know, like, well, why?
I mean, the spammers have a better chance of getting it right than I do.
Please, I know. Please recite this verse of Lorem Ipsum to continue to the next stage. Like, come on. But back to like don't laugh because it's the future. When I went to go see District 9, there was a movie trailer, and at the end of the movie trailer, it was like, follow us on Twitter at such and such movie on Twitter. Such and, like, really? Go on, Twitter. Give me a break, people! Oh my goodness!
It's all about Twitter, I'm telling you.
And just to go even more off topic, just for our dear friend Word Nerd, you know what I hate about the internet the most?
Word Nerd. that's what you hate the most.
I love you, Word Nerd. Didn't know you were so good at a Microsoft Office program. I hate the people who are getting famous on the internet for basically going each week saying, so, what do you think the next such and such should be? Send me your suggestions at whatever it is. Like, they don't have any talent, but every week they're like, hey, what do you think the funniest phrase should be? And then people send in their funniest phrases, and then they get seen as funny because they recite them all. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they're just fishing for talent, basically.
It's like, oh,
you know?
Here's a blog where it's all about your blogs. Like, I'm just going to set up a page where you guys can blog, and we'll just host it on our page, and we'll get famous based off your content. You know what I mean? It's like, maybe if this person actually had talent, and they could do something with the stuff that we send them, I could understand. There's one site I followed for a while where I swear every single post they made would end with, so what do you think? Leave me a comment. Let me know. And it would always be like, zero comments. You know?
Right.
It's like, you know. Like,
not working out for you there, buddy.
Yeah, it's like, you do realize by you asking for comments and always having zero comments, you're actually making people not want to comment because, like, well, I'm not going to be the first person. Like, you want it to come naturally. Like, and that's why I always get a little pissed off when you leave a comment at the end of a post and you're like, what do you guys think? I'm like, Tim, don't say that, please. You're killing me here. Like, oh,
yeah,
don't say that.
Yeah, but I do that fairly infrequently, and it's when I actually have a specific, you know, thing I wanted, you know, to ask people, you know? I mean,
yeah.
What are some other ideas for this comic that could have, you know, fit in or, you know, but, but yeah,
totally.
Naturally we do get some really good feedback, so I don't think we necessarily
yes.
need to do that.
Yeah, we don't have to beg for it. I mean, that's what it feels like, people begging, like, ugh. But then they get big, and I can't stand that. I can't stand it. I'm just all twisted up inside, Tim. Well, you listened last week, right?
I did, yes.
Now, what did you think? This
it
is
was
like the
impressive.
First time you listened in about a year, right?
Yeah, well, you know what was funny? Yeah, it really was. And I heard my voice, and I'm like, that's not what I sound like. What did Ray do to me? Because I just haven't listened in so long, and it was, like, weird to me.
The sad part is I enhance your voice to sound better.
Oh,
so
no,
that's what you
got
to be worried about, is I make it sound great.
That's a shame. I'm surprised anyone listens to the show with my voice.
me too. Every week I think about that.